You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Tuesday, September 13th. Joining me by phone now, Tim Young Eagle, the new executive director of Lutheran Indian Ministries. Tim, welcome.
Good morning.
Good to have you as our guest this morning. Tim, tell me a little bit about how you got involved with Lutheran Indian Ministries.
Well, my association with Lutheran Indian Ministries began about 8 or 9 years ago. I was actually asked to become a member of the board of directors, and I was on the board of directors for a couple of years before I left to take a job with the Lutheran High School Association of Greater Milwaukee. And just recently came back to the ministry about a year ago, and I came back in the capacity as their development director, and just recently in the last 5 weeks became the new executive director.
What, Tim, what is at the heart of Lutheran Indian Ministries? What is LIM all about?
Well, first of all, we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to Native American peoples. We also disciple Native leaders so that they can share the gospel with their brothers and sisters. And thirdly, we reach out to them and try to take a holistic approach to healing Native American issues that are going on today by the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Why is Lutheran Indian Ministries important to you, Tim? Why have you made a personal investment in LIM?
Well, this is a very personal thing for me. I'm a Pawnee Indian. My father was a full-blooded Pawnee, grew up in Oklahoma. He became Lutheran when he met my mother. He moved up to Wisconsin after he got out of the Navy. Met my mother. She was German Lutheran. Belonged to a very long-time congregation here in Milwaukee, Emmaus Lutheran Church and School. And so my father became Lutheran, became a leader in the church. And so I'm somewhat of a rare breed amongst Native Americans. I'm Native American, but I've grown up in the Lutheran faith. I went to Lutheran grade schools my entire life and Lutheran high school and a couple of years of Concordia before graduating from Wisconsin. So this is something that very much is in my DNA. It's in my blood in every way that you could possibly imagine.
Were there questions or struggles that you had along the way as being both a Native American and also growing up Lutheran? Were there questions you had along the way throughout your youth?
Well, I think that as I grew up, my father tried to protect us from his past. And there were times when I wondered if he was protecting us or protecting himself from the memories of the things that he grew up in. I think my father had a much more difficult time growing up as a Native American on a reservation than I did. I was blessed to have loving parents that took good care of me and made sure that I was nurtured in the faith. And so that was really the life that I knew. So my friends never questioned my Native background. They knew that I had an unusual name, but the people that were close to me never asked about it. Now, if you didn't know me or if you had a passing occurrence to meet me somewhere along the way, it does become a point of curiosity. From my point, that's a blessing. I always have to be very careful of how I act and who I am because I portray not just a Native American man, but also a Native American Christian man.
How is that different? Why is that important for you to be mindful of the message that you send, the witness that you give?
Well, first of all, there are about 5.3 million Native Americans in the United States today, and only about 5% of them know Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. So that's a problem, and it's an opportunity for us. I feel that I have to be mindful of who I am because Native Americans for many years have been stigmatized in this society. In fact, if you look at history books, much of the history that has taken place amongst Native people is even being erased. I just heard a commercial on the station before we came on about historical
amnesia.
amnesia, exactly. And I think that unfortunately that's where we're heading with Native American history. Native American history has been one of brokenness and defeat. But if you go further back, you realize what a proud and beautiful people Native people were. And once upon a time, they embraced Christianity and embraced the church until the church became an instrument of the government and was actually used as an assimilation tool and as a means to get them off of their native lands and onto reservations. And so that history, what we're battling is the John Wayne history. It's the Dances with Wolves history. It's the inaccurate portrayals or depictions of Native Americans as they actually were and as they actually are today.
How do we delve into that history? How do we communicate that history? And how do we reconcile?
Well, that's a great question. I believe that healing can only take place by the power of the Holy Spirit on both sides. I think what Native Americans are looking for is to have a seat at the table, not only at the table of government as it exists today, the issues are very much in the news right now. If you've read about Standing Rock and the protests that are taking place as natives try to protect the water against the pipeline out there. So there are prominent native issues that exist today, and those issues are being underreported. And so, first of all, it's a matter of educating the public about who we were and who we are today and what kind of issues that we face today. But then more importantly, from my perspective, giving Native Americans a seat at the table of the altar, at the table of the sacraments, the opportunity to take the blood and body of Jesus Christ and know that they are saved by Jesus Christ.
You had the blessing of growing up and knowing this message of Jesus, having this trusting, saving faith in Jesus. What does it mean to today as you bring that good news of Jesus to other Native Americans? How is that message of Jesus received among Native Americans as you and others are given that opportunity?
Well, I don't want to make a blanket statement because I think it varies, and it even varies depending on where they are geographically. It certainly varies based on where they are today from where they came from. And we often hear the term traditional Indian. So there are typically two kinds of Indians. There's the traditional Indian, which means that they embrace the traditional native customs and the traditional native religious beliefs. And then there are those that have been Christianized or those that have come to faith in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so there are two camps. And it's very hard for those who have been Christianized to break through to the traditional, because there are a significant number of natives who believe, because this is what they've been taught historically, that you can't be Native American and you can't be Christian, that those two things are incompatible. And overcoming that is the greatest hurdle that we have.
Hmm. It sounds like a big challenge. How do you approach that?
Well, we have to understand where Native people come from. And I think that one of the things that we need to do is we need to understand the brokenness of so many Native people. We have issues that serious issues that we're faced with right now, issues like alcoholism and drug abuse and sexual abuse and physical abuse and suicide, which is rampant amongst Native Americans, especially young people. So I think the approach has got to be that the church has got to somehow be an instrument that's able to help heal the societal wounds that Native people feel, and that will open doors to share the gospel with Native people.
What about Lutheran Indian ministries today? What are the things that LIM is doing today? Where are the places that we see Lutheran Indian ministries really happening, where that gospel is being proclaimed, those relationships being built to provide opportunities to proclaim that gospel?
Well, first of all, we've got a great ministry down in Lawrence, Kansas. Lawrence, Kansas has historical significance to Native people. There's a school down there called Haskell Indian Nations University, and that was an Indian boarding school at one time, but now it's a government-run school. And 1,000 Native American students from all over the United States go to Haskell to learn and then to get their college education, to get their degrees. And we have a building right on the adjacent to the campus there. And we do outreach to the students on that campus. So that's an incredibly unique and important ministry for us. We also have two people who work up in Alaska, actually three people that work up in Alaska. They work both in the Lutheran churches there in Fairbanks and in Anchorage. And in addition to that, many churches and church groups use their houses and use their expertise as staging grounds to go up and do vacation Bible school to some of the 224 villages that exist up in Alaska, in some of the most remote areas that you can possibly believe, many of which don't even have running water. We also have a ministry site in Hawaii, and when people think of Hawaii, they typically think of a place that's paradise, right? You think about luaus and leis and danho and all of that, mm-hmm. that great stuff that we've grown up with, but what they don't understand is that much of the brokenness that we see amongst Native people here in this country is similar or identical to what Hawaiian people feel. They feel that they've been conquered. They feel that they have the same kind of societal issues that we deal with. And so we've got a man out there who's currently in the EIP program that is studying to become a pastor that's going to be doing great ministry in Hawaii. We also have some people on the Olympic Peninsula. We have McCaw Lutheran Church up there, and Winston Wilson does a great job up there ministering to the people in that area up on the Upper Peninsula, about as far in the Pacific Northwest as you can go in the United States. And then we also have a great couple that's doing important work in Port Angeles, reaching out to the native people there. And then finally, we have a ministry site in Navajo, New Mexico. And that's a very interesting place. There are some similarities from Navajo to Alaska. And you say, well, how is that? Well, they're both pretty barren lands, but they're also very beautiful places. But distance is a tremendous barrier to doing ministry there. There's 110 chapters on the Navajo Reservation, which is 28,000 miles large. But it's also the largest Native American nation in this country. They have over 300,000 members. And so we've got Tim Norton is in Navajo, and he is working with the Navajo people there. A lot of that involves going door-to-door and knocking on doors. He's done an amazing job. He's learned the Navajo language so he can speak to the elders who still don't speak English. And so he's able to share the gospel with them. So we've got a great staff of committed men and women that are dedicated to sharing the gospel with their native brothers and sisters.
You bring up a good point. Is there a language barrier in some of the places where the Lutheran Indian ministries could be doing ministry?
There is a language barrier. It's also a language opportunity. One of the things that we've found that's very, very interesting, especially in Alaska, but in places like Navajo as well, is that if you're able to share the gospel in a native language, it has greater meaning to the people. And so it's not just language, it's also culture. It's bringing the gospel to them in a way that's culturally acceptable to them, in a way that they can understand it through their eyes. And that's very different from how you and I might view the gospel based on where we grew up or how we grew up.
Tim, what are the needs of Lutheran Indian Ministries today in order to carry out this mission that you've been given?
Well, we need to grow. We are touching many lives, but there are many, many more lives that need to be touched. We need to be in places where the greatest Native American populations are. And ironically, 74% of Native people live in cities. So we need to be in places like Los Angeles and San Diego. We need to be in Oklahoma City and Tulsa, in places like that. So we need to be where the Indians are, and we need to grow our staff. And the challenge to growing our staff is twofold. One, we need to give them training and expertise in the area of counseling so that they can deal with many of the social issues that they're going to face on a day-to-day basis. We also need trained pastors, and we've been blessed by the Synod's EIIP program and the opportunity that provides to our men and women to become ordained ministers. And we need more men like that. So it's finding Native leaders who are interested in going into ministry, and frankly, that are far enough in their own faith walk so that they have the maturity to go into ministry, and then providing them with the training and counseling that they need, and then getting them in the right place. One of the unique dynamics of our ministry is that the people will be more accepting of the message if it's one of their own delivering it to them. So in the ideal sense, we would love to have a Navajo deliver the message in Navajo. That doesn't diminish the efforts of Tim Norton by any stretch, because he's done an amazing job there. But if one of their own were there helping him or working beside him, it would be a great deal more meaningful, I think, which is why we have a Hawaiian in Hawaii. And why we have an Alaskan in Alaska. It just adds to the richness mm-hmm. and fullness of sharing the gospel story with those people. So all of that takes money, of course, and we are funded by the generous gifts of many, many donors from across the country and writing grants through LWML and other organizations. But the greatest challenge is really replicating what we're doing right now so that we can grow with it, because it's a slow growth process. If you find a young man and you say, would you be interested in going to the seminary, it's 4 or 5 years before they get out and can do active ministry. That's a long time. And we have young people out there that are taking their own lives who don't know Jesus that we need to reach sooner rather than later.
Most certainly. It's an important and urgent need. You mentioned young men considering seminary. What about women serving as teachers or deaconess or directors of Christian education?
Yeah, we're looking at all of those possibilities. We do have one deaconess right now, and she does a great job up in Port Angeles. That's Kathy Benzler. But we need more people like that. So you're right. We need to use any type of opportunity available to us, not just called ministers, but counselors who are trained in DCEs and deaconesses as well.
Very good. Well, how can we find out more about the work of Lutheran Indian Ministries, Tim?
Well, we've got a great website, which is at www.lutheranindianministries.org. And I would encourage people to go there. We've got a lot of tremendous information. We're also on Facebook, so you can find Lutheran Indian Ministries on Facebook and learn more about us. Jess Muhlendike does a great job of keeping all of those things up to date. So you can learn more about the men and women that work in this ministry, and you can find out more about the groups that come and volunteer as part of this ministry. Maybe people want to participate as a volunteer, and we would certainly encourage that. We had 71 kids go to a vacation Bible school in Navajo this summer, and we were blessed to have a group come out of Boston that was able to help with that. And we've had groups that have gone up to Alaska from as far away as North Carolina to help with vacation Bible school up there. So we've been really, really blessed by volunteers as well.
LutheranIndianMinistries.org is the place to find out more about their work. Tim Young Eagle, Executive Director, Lutheran Indian Ministries, thank you so much for being my guest this morning, sharing with us about this important and great work.
You're welcome. Thank you very much, and God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you and those you serve and those with whom you serve. Coming up in just a little bit, we have our study of the daily lectionary. Today we're heading to Nampa, Idaho. Hope you can join us for that as we study with Pastor Ross Shaver at Zion Lutheran Church in Nampa, Idaho. Colossians chapter 1 today. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.